You have your Bibles with you today, or there's a pew Bible in front of you. Also, we're going to be in the beginning verses of the Gospel of Mark. We're in this sermon series that we're calling Everywhere I Go. It's based on the idea that we are going to the places where Jesus is going, having conversations like he is. I found a book that I thought we would base this sermon series on. And so the opening story is kind of based on that loosely. And the book is, the title is really great. It's called Ashes at the Coffee Shop, Resurrection at the Bus Stop. I love that. I love that title and that image today. And so as we begin today's scripture lesson, I ask you to turn to Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. And let me tell you, hold on. Hold on. Mark moves very quickly. Listen for the word of God. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven and said, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this word, for Mark's gospel, and all the things that Jesus does so quickly, so immediately. We pray, Lord, for a blessing over your word. Hear it as I preach it, and may your words be my words, or my words be your words. In Jesus' name, amen. We watch television differently than when I was growing up. Is anyone about my age? Mid-50s? I'd like to say mid-50s. Actually, on the other end of that, just a little bit. For one thing, today, there is a remote control. I can operate my television from my phone, which is good because my dog, Max, who is still a little bit of a puppy, has eaten about 6 remote controls. By the way, you can buy one for $14.95 at Walmart. And when they ask me, "Would you like the warranty?" I tell them about Max and they say, "Never mind." Another thing is that it used to be at midnight, television stations signed off. "This is the end of our broadcast day," they would say, and we'd sing the national anthem. And if you had trouble sleeping at night, well, good luck, right? My family, early on, had cable television. So that's the reason I'm an Atlanta Braves fan to this day, because Ted Turner put them on television. Susie and I stream most of what we watch. We use YouTube TV for our television, Netflix, and Amazon Prime are some of our go-to outlets. 3 of our 5... I'm kind of embarrassed by that. 3 out of our 5 televisions. 5 televisions. There's 2 of us in our house. 3 of our 5 televisions. We can easily click and watch things on. Recording's easier, too. You remember when you had to hit a whole bunch of buttons to record a television show? Now you just hit it. Now, here's something I've also learned. In today's world, you can hit a pause button, and TV pauses. It's remarkable. And if you miss something for some reason, maybe someone was talking to you, and you missed the moment that you really needed to see, you just hit the back button. I did that about 20 times yesterday, right? Television is different today than it was in those days when I was just a kid. Now stay with me for just a moment. What if our scripture lesson for today, which moves so quickly, was only streamed? You couldn't read it. You didn't have a Bible. You couldn't see it on a screen, but you watched it. I think you would want to hit the back button on all this, because in seven verses, Jesus is so moving so quickly. He does these things in seven verses. He's baptized. The heavens are torn apart. The Spirit descends. God speaks. The Spirit leads him out to the wilderness. He's out there 40 days. He's with the wild beasts. Angels take care of him. His cousin is arrested. He goes to Galilee, and he preaches a sermon. All in seven verses. I think that you might want to hit the back button when you read this scripture lesson time and time again to take it all in. Now, Mark is telling us the story of the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. Now, we believe Mark is the first of the four Gospels, the earliest. It's also the shortest. You can read it in one sitting really easily. It's 16 chapters long. Matthew and Luke borrowed from Mark's story. There are only 24 verses that in Mark's Gospel that you cannot find in Luke or in Matthew. I've told you this before. Mark has no birth story. If you want a Christmas play, you got to turn to Luke, where you get shepherds in their fields watching their flock by night, and Matthew, where you get the wise men coming, right? And Mark has a favorite word. Does anyone know what it is? Immediately. Immediately. Mark uses that word 41 times in 16 chapters. Now, turning back to the seven verses that we read together a few moments ago, here are some observations. As to his baptism, well, it's not really clear if people saw the dove descending and landing on him. We don't know if everyone saw that or just Jesus saw that. As to that voice that boomed from heaven, Mark says, "You are my son, the beloved, with whom I'm well pleased." Now, you've heard me say this before. Matthew says instead, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I'm well pleased." Do you see the difference? You are, this is, right? There's a difference there. And also Matthew says, and Luke says, that the heavens were opened. Mark uses a different word. He uses the word torn. Something that is opened, it seems to me, can be closed again, like a door or a window. But something that is torn, try putting that back together. Let me illustrate. Have you ever bought something from a store that was heavy in plastic? Usually it's an electronic device, right? And good luck opening it. You got to have a pair of scissors and then you rip it apart. And if you don't like what you see, if the product doesn't work, try taking that back to the store. They'll just look at you. Ripped apart. There's a passage that we read from Isaiah 64 that says, "Oh, that you would tear open your heavens and come down." Tear apart. Tore. In fact, in the Bible, in the King James Version, that word tear or tore is only used 17 times. Another time is at the moment of Jesus' death. You remember? Where the curtain of the temple tore from its very top to its very bottom. The earth shook. And the curtain was torn. The curtain separated God from people, it was believed, in the Holy of Holies in the temple. And then there are the temptations of Jesus. Now, if you follow Luke, you get the temptations. Turning stones into bread. Worshiping God by bowing down to Satan and getting all the kingdoms of the world, or going to the highest point of the temple. Can you imagine being up there and jumping down? And God sending his angels. Boy, that's high up there, isn't it? And the angels would take care of you. Those are the temptations, according to Luke. Mark doesn't tell you what they are. He just says that Jesus was out in the wilderness for 40 days with wild beasts, and that the angels took care of him. As to those temptations, I got to tell you, I've never been so hungry that a piece of stone looked good to me. I've never been about building kingdoms around me, and I'll tell you this, I'm not going to test Jesus. I'm going to let him be God. I'm content on that. There are things that tempt us. I could mention a few, right? What tempts you? Candy, chocolate, screens, relationships, thousands of things, drugs. We all have temptations. Jesus had temptations too, and his biggest temptation was at the beginning of his ministry. Choir, are y'all with me? Mm-hmm. At the beginning of his ministry, the devil sowed doubt in his heart and said, if you are the Son of God, don't do these things. Come on my side. That's the biggest temptation for Jesus not to be Lord and Savior. So in this season of Lent, after Ash Wednesday, it's the call for us to look at our insides and our relationship with God, to look at the temptations of Jesus. But I believe that Mark gives us a little more than just that. He paints a picture of what the earliest days of Jesus were all about. Not the manger, but the baptism. Not the wise men, but the heavens being torn apart. Not the no vacancy sign flashing at the end, but the first sermon. And the first sermon says, the time is now. The kingdom of God has come upon the earth. Change your life, as the Message translation says, and believe the gospel. Mark has us quickly and immediately on the way to Jerusalem. He teaches, he heals, he confronts. And clearly, if you do your study, one-third of the Gospel of Mark happens in or around Jerusalem. We're going quickly there. Now, may I say one more word about this idea that things open and are ripped apart? May I? Are y'all out there today? One more word about the curtain being torn from top to bottom. Nothing separates us from God these days. Many of you know that shortly before I became your pastor, in the summer of 2024, my mom died. It was expected. She had been sick for a long period of time. Her illness was long, about 4 years. My brother and I took turns going to see her and caring for her on weekends. We go on Friday and Saturday and then rush back to the churches where we were serving at the time. Mom and I had a lot of conversations. Some of them were political. Some of them were religious. Some of them were about what she said, old Conway. Mom talked about old Conway, which is what Conway was like when she was a kid, right? She was 92 years old. She and I talked about heaven. And she said to me one day, I'm not sure. I think maybe that when I die, I'll just be buried and that'll be it. And I said, Mother, what? She has two sons who are preachers and a husband who worked in the church all his life. I think she was having a little bit of a faith crisis. I finished my ministry in Springdale on Sunday, and I drove to Conway on Monday morning. Didn't realize how bad it had gotten. And on Tuesday afternoon, my mom died. I tell you this to tell you another story. One of her caregivers pulled me to the side the day before she died. And the caregiver said, your mom said something strange the other day. I thought I'd share it with you. I said, what did she say? She said out loud, Jesus opened the door. Jesus opened the door. I smiled and I was comforted. And I know where my mom is. From this moment on, God's heavens are open to you and to me. They're torn apart, never to be put back together. Once God has come down in Jesus, there's no telling where he's going to show up this week, right? God opened the door. He's closer to us now than he's ever been before.